All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? It's a Monday in the big city. It's trade deadline day, and to say it's heating up might be an understatement. Your Astros have finally made a move. I'm not sure it's the move that you wanted or expected, but hey, it's a move. And there are still moving parts as we get ready to approach the 3 p.m. deadline. Barry is here. Nick is here. I'm here. That means we are all present and accounted for, the usual suspects on a Monday here on ESPN 97.5. Fellas, what's up?
What up?
What up, man?
All good, man. Just I went from thinking they weren't going to do anything to waiting for the next foot to drop. Because
the next foot to drop.
Next shoe to drop.
New
foot to
thing?
Drop. Yeah. Kind of like that slow boogie you just did on the intro. Yeah, cutting some rug over here.
Hey, you know, when I feel it, I let it go.
I need the next move to be made. So the Astros have traded. Because Liriano, they get Liriano from the Blue Jays for Nori Aoki and a player to be named later.
Yep.
He's a rental, so I don't think that player to be named later is going to be anybody that you're going to be too worried about, like the big names that are being kicked around for bigger deals, like Martez and Fisher and guys like that. But, you know, obviously Astros fans are over the top, and the first thing is, oh, boy. You know, that's what they get. They're not done. And the other thing that I think that people are sleeping on is the fact that, you know, the waiver deadline is still a ways away, where even if they don't do anything by 3 o'clock today other than this trade, people shouldn't think that they're not going to do anything.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, with the Liriano thing, I'm lukewarm on it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Giving up Aoki doesn't hurt. He's a part-time guy. The worst thing about giving up Aoki, sadly, is I'll never, ever, now, ever get a chance to hear someone say there's an Aoki pokey.
Right.
I'm never going to get to hear that now. If it happens, it's going to happen in Toronto, and maybe I'll call the Toronto play-by-play guy and see if he'll do it. I bet he'll do it. Those Canucks, they have fun.
What if he's not a Canuck?
So,
is that a jab at Blummer?
So rest in peace, Conger Donger. Rest in peace, Aoki pokey. Yeah. Going to have to come up with a new crusade now.
Call Bill Worrell. I'm sure he'll come up with
something. I'm all right with that. I'm okay. I don't need to do that. But, you know, giving up Aoki and, you know, a player to be named later, I'm good with that. That's fine. You know, Liriano isn't the answer to the bullpen. I think he gives you a decent arm, a left arm, a lefty out of the pen, because they said he's going to be moved to the pen, even though he's a starter for most of his career. I mean, he's come out of the pen a little bit. Mm-hmm. If you're interested in stats and splits for him, 5.88 ERA this year, which is not great by any stretch of the imagination. But the thing you want to look at when talking about Liriano is his stats against left-handed hitters. Mm-hmm. And I had that and then lost it. And so that sucks because here we go. So against lefties, he is giving up a .221 batting average. Mm-hmm. Not bad. So you'll take that.
So he replaces Tony Sipp.
Well, he becomes the first option. I don't know if he's going to I don't know if they're going to keep Tony Sipp. My guess is maybe they send Sipp back to the minors if they can, if he's out of options, they might outright release him. But he's certainly not doing it. But again, I go back to the fact that just like with Liriano, yeah, you can get an inning out of Liriano, I think, because he's been a starter and so forth, and he's not considered a specialist necessarily. And then when you look at his, you know, like ERA, his ERA is better in the first couple of innings than it is as the game goes on. Once he gets to the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning, it's pretty good. But in those middle 3 through 6 innings, it's not great. And so that kind of lets you know that's most of the time when a starter will get run. So the fact that he comes in at a 386 or a 359 in the first or second inning of most games that he starts, that's a good sign. Now you know he can come out of the pen and pitch an inning, and he's not going to blow up in the first inning like some guys do. I don't know, though, that he's replacing Sip. You know what I mean?
I sure hope he is.
He's not that good, is he?
Neither is Tony Sip.
But not this year. In years past, you know, he's finished, I think his best year was finished ninth in the Cy Young voting in his first year in Pittsburgh.
Mariano.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In his first year in Pittsburgh. Third in Rookie of the Year, but that's such a long time ago. And you look at what he's done ERA wise, and it's not pretty, you know, here and there.
So, like I said,
it's not a super great move.
You only
but it's something.
You really, you know, your main lefty in the pen with Sip. This guy gives you some depth. He also gives you, like you said, some experience because, you know, he's been in the playoffs with three different teams. He's been a starter. Against lefties, his numbers are fairly good. But to me, the other thing that was a sign was, again, he's a rental. He's free at the end of the year. But the fact that they were giving up Aoki and not a lot of the guys that had been rumored all over the place in any deal, starting with Derek Fisher and Martez, tells me that there was a lot of kind of hot stove rumblings that the Astros are cooling off on whether they want to get rid of Fisher or not, because they like that since he's been up, he's shown great speed. He's shown that he can hit major league pitching. He's shown a lot of positives, and they're getting to be a little more hesitant on whether they want to pull the trigger and let him go. I don't know if that's true or not, but he has been rather impressive since he's been up this time.
Yeah, the fact that Hinch trusts him enough to put him in the leadoff position tells you something about what they think about Derek Fisher. That tells you everything you need to know. Because normally he would be hitting at the bottom. You could have Altuve leadoff. You could put Bregman in the two-hole. The fact that they've got this kid with a week or two of experience in the majors and they've already put him in that position says a lot about what they think of him.
His wheels are impressive, too. I mean, the way he goes first to third, the way I think it was a triple this weekend in Detroit, where even Blummer said he's coasting. I mean, he's not even really kicking it to the highest gear, and he's flying.
Yep.
And that is a big thing, too. So, and he's hitting lefties. I think that they see a lot of positives in him. And again, McCullers, and I said it going into the weekend, was the guy that, you know, I really wanted to see what he was going to do. And a lot of people are extremely disappointed in what he did do. I thought he hung in there fairly well, but obviously he still wasn't right. I don't know if that's the last straw that says you got to get another starter or that he'll figure it out. But to me, this is a Band-Aid for the bullpen, but I still would like to see them address the rotation.
Yeah, this is just something. This is just a move. I think this is a reputation move. This is not based on certainly his performance this year with that 5.88 ERA. But when you look at when he got traded to Toronto last year, he had a 2.92 ERA in 10 games with them. Before that, you know, he's been in the threes. He's been as high as five and a half, so you kind of don't know what you're going to get with this guy. He can pitch well, but he's not consistent. You know what I mean? So, again, it's not a spectacular move. I think it's a move. I think they know that Derek Fisher's probably a guy they want to keep up here, so it allows you to move Aoki and make room for Derek Fisher without having to send somebody down. And plus, you add a guy who you hope can be a lefty specialist. It's funny because I got tagged on a tweet that you got tagged on as well, and it was basically saying, I think it was Buster Olney, who said that he was hearing rumblings that if the Astros stamp at, the players aren't going to be thrilled about that. Mm-hmm. And I disagree. And Shock actually was the first one to say it, but I kind of agreed with Shock, and I disagree with Buster Olney. I think that what you're probably hearing is some posturing by certain people trying to float some stuff out there to force the Astros to make a move maybe, or to make them consider making moves. If you're the Astros, if you're the players on this team, are you really upset? You've got the best record in baseball. You've done it with duct tape and bubble gum because your rotation has been injured. You've had Correa out a couple of times now. You've had Springer's on the DL. So you've fought through some injuries both at the plate and in your rotation and in the bullpen with Harris out. You've done all that. You've got a 17-game lead and the best record too, in the AL. Mm-hmm. If they don't make a move, I don't think these guys are hungover. They're confident. They're like, yeah, we don't need you to make a move. We built this without making any moves. Why would these players doubt themselves?
We've talked about this. As much as people get their sources from inside organizations, the agents are planting as much as anybody too. And other teams are planting things to try and get posturing, like you just said. The fact of the matter is, a good general manager is going to play every angle he possibly can to try and get as much as to maximize any deal he's trying to make, especially if it's a team that's a seller that's trying to get better for the future. They're going to try and get as many young players as they can. So it'll be interesting. The Astros, according to many major league sources, still involved in two different discussions with the Padres for Hand, another left-handed reliever, and also for Britton from the Orioles, saying that the Dodgers and the Astros are the final two, but that the Orioles are asking for a lot, and it could be that they are asking for Martez as well as Fisher, and that would be a lot for Zach Britton, although that was the guy I wanted all along that I thought could really do everything from put an exclamation mark on whatever you're worried about from your closer position.
Who would you say? You said for Britton it would be
Martez and Fisher.
I think I'd be all right with that.
Would you?
Yeah. Assuming you're going to keep Britton for the long haul. I mean, he's going to be your closer for the next 3 or 4 years.
Yep.
I'd be fine with that.
The only guy that wouldn't be fine with that would be Ken Giles.
Of course.
Yes. But other than that, you know, look, it's win now, and you can find another utility outfielder, you know, and you'll just have to see if Fisher ends up being what he looks like right now. But I think if it is win now with an eye on the future, and if you're going to try and do that, especially here's the other thing that we're not talking about. Boston's already made a couple moves.
Yep.
They got the Mets closer this morning or late last night. The Indians are rumored to try to be doing a couple of things. That's what you really got to worry. You don't care what the Dodgers and the Nationals and other teams are, the Cubs. You need to worry about what's going on in your league because that's what you need to get there. So plenty to keep an eye on before the deadline at 3 o'clock. We'll keep you posted and updated as things come in. So don't go anywhere. And again, if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, call, text, or hit us on Twitter at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. And I promise we'll get Nick in here next segment strong from the weekend. Don't go anywhere. And, of course, I want to tell you right now about my good friends at Gallery Furniture. Gallery Furniture, with 3 locations across the Houston area now to service you better, have been here in Houston for over 36 years. And their sole focus is to make sure you get high-quality American-made furniture at a decent price that keeps you coming back again and again. Because Gallery's been here, they know you're going to be here, and they want it to be a marriage that works for a long time. 3 locations, as I mentioned, at Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland with a beautiful new showroom. Right in the heart of the Galleria at Westheimer and Post Oak. And, of course, the mainstay I-45 North exit Tidwell Parker both ways, where Max says it and he believes it and he makes sure people live up to it. That is, buy today, get it tonight. You buy in within 3 to 4 hours. The delivery people are at your door to deliver your furniture. They'll move stuff out of the way. They'll take stuff away. And they'll always make sure you're happy before they leave your house. And the furniture itself is, of course, American-made living room, dining room furniture, solid wood, leather and upholstered furniture, custom-made for your man cave or your movie room. They do it all, and they make sure that they do it with a smile on their face, and they do it with an eye on customer service to make sure you're happy, satisfied, and you'll come back again and again. Gallery Furniture does it all. It's your one-stop shop for everything for every room in your house. There's a reason why most of the furniture in my house comes from Gallery Furniture. Ever since I've been in Houston, I know that Mac does not screw me over. He gives me quality furniture at a great price, and the customer service is second to none. So as Mac says, Gallery really will save you money. Check out Gallery Furniture today.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, as the show continues to roll on. Nicholas, I want to get you in here right away because you were quiet in the first segment, but we were covering a lot of
what's going on,
tidbits and details. How was the weekend?
It was fun. It was fun. I can't complain. Just chilled. Started a new TV series on Netflix, Ozark.
Ozark?
Yeah.
About some mountain men in Arkansas?
No.
Daredevil?
Water?
Jason Bateman's the main character, and basically he's running this big company and basically steals from the mafia or cartel. Not the cartel, the mafia.
So it's not about water?
And it's about money laundering for the most part. Yeah.
Okay.
So far, at least.
All right. Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah, but other than that, nothing new. What about you guys?
Boring.
Yeah, that's my life on the weekend.
You watched the big fight, though.
I did. I'm sure you did, too.
Oh,
I didn't watch it live. I know what Barry was looking at me for. I watched it on the replay on UFC.com.
Yeah, fully paid for.
Yep.
You didn't watch it, Joel? I watched golf just for you.
Did you?
Nope.
Nope. So we're
breaking it down.
So we're even.
You know, people are asking about this, me doing the lean today. I was supposed to do the scissor.
Mm-hmm.
And
looks like you're backing out.
I can't.
Why?
Because I have a lot of yard work to do today. This is a travel week for me. I'm in Fort Worth Thursday through Saturday at the Hyenas in Fort Worth. Tell a friend, thank you. And
the Hyenas.
At Hyenas. Not the Hyenas. Hyenas.
Yeah, Fort Worth. I'm sure either way you'll find it. They will too.
They will too. but yeah, so I gotta get the yard all cleaned up. And I
manicured.
I started this weekend, but I didn't do everything I was supposed to because it was so hot.
Yeah.
And so I'm out mowing at 9 o'clock at night last night.
So neighbors love you.
Well, of course. They shouldn't have put lights on my John Deere if they didn't want that to happen. So yeah, I've got work to do, and unfortunately, I hate to disappoint. There will be no lean drinking today.
But it's supposed to give you energy. You're supposed to be able to
work
on. No, Barry said this is the one that's supposed to.
This is the one that makes you go memes.
I was trying to lie.
But yeah, I'm a dumbass. Like I'm gonna fall for your foolishness, Nick.
Nick told me. Nick Anderson, the owner, told me that's not a downer.
In between S bombs,
I will say I will say I kind of freaked out this weekend. I got a bloody nose. For no reason.
And that that is not good.
I was like.
Was it chocolate?
Oh-ish. No, it wasn't chocolate. And my wife was like, what's wrong? I was like, nothing. She doesn't know. She still doesn't know I did it.
Really?
Nope. I'm not telling her
she's
either.
She's not a loyal listener.
Nope. Nope.
Must be the signal.
Yeah, that's what it is. Or her just contempt for what I do.
Mm-hmm.
She has no idea, and I'm counting on you guys not to tell her. Fingers crossed. Everyone's got a pinky swear out there that we're not going to tell her. But yeah, just minding my own business. Just minding my own business, and I was like, what the hell? And then I kind of rubbed like that with just my finger across my nostrils.
Yeah.
And I pulled my finger back and it was bloody, and I was like, oh, that's not good. Am I dying right now? Am I gonna die?
It was a scene out of Gran Torino when Clint's dying and he goes to do the same thing.
I immediately regretted the decision to snort the cocoa powder on Friday. Immediately when
like
I
right
saw
after
that.
You did it?
No. When I saw
the blood,
I was like, and I now hate that idea. That was dumb. So we'll see. So far, no like headaches, no loss of sleep or anything like that. Just one bloody nose, which I'm not prone to getting bloody noses. It happens rarely. Usually, like in the winter, you know what I mean, when it's cold out, and I guess I'm blowing my nose
dry or something.
Yeah. I don't know. So we'll see. We'll see if this continues or not. If I die, I'm going to be so mad. Oh,
it would certainly mess with my head. Nosebleeds are not incredibly uncommon, but the timing of it is obviously.
Oh, yeah.
I think you definitely do the legal lean so that by Friday, if you're dead, you'll die with a bloody nose and a runny crack. And it'll just make
the
for
lean,
more conversation.
I don't think he said the lean is the one that gives you the runny crack.
I thought he did.
I think it was the chocolate.
It was the chocolate.
He said it gave you the drips, but I think he meant nasal drips in your throat, not boo-boo drips.
Okay.
So, yeah. So we'll see.
Have made another acquisition in the time that we've gone to break.
No, they have not.
Yep, and the bullpen may be finally shored up in a few short weeks.
No, you're lying.
Oh, they brought in the big 747.
Who?
Jumbo Diaz.
Who?
They've signed reliever Jumbo Diaz, who has most recently pitched with Cincinnati.
I can honestly say I have no idea who that is.
He will be sent to AAA to groom.
Oh, well, there you go.
So the jumbo jetliner has been added to the possible pen for the future.
Yeah, I see that. He's with the Tampa Bay Rays this year, 3 years with Cincinnati, ERA of 3.34, 18, 3.14, and 5.70.
He ain't tiny.
Well, welcome aboard, Jumbo Diaz, 6'4", 3.15. Holy cow! 6'4", 3.15?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I see where he got his nickname.
Exactly. And the equipment guy's going to have a challenge just trying to find a potato sack that'll fit his ass.
Yeah.
That's a big boy. So the deadline is 3 o'clock. We'll continue to watch it for
you. Yeah, I don't know why I owe everyone an apology. I don't know why I thought it was midnight. For some reason, I thought it was midnight on the day, and then that's just not true. That was fake news.
Right. Plus, then you got everybody to hammer you because of which day it actually was.
But I learned this weekend that it was 4 Eastern. Shock corrected me. It's 4 Eastern. So there you go. So we'll see. We've got what?
Hour and a half?
Yep.
And Bagwell went in the Hall of Fame. Great speech this weekend. We've got excerpts of that. We'll get to you as well. But because of that and the fact that Phil Gardner was actually there and was his manager once upon a time with the Houston Astros, Scrap Iron, Phil Gardner, will join us next on The Usual Suspects. That's going to be good because...
Pumped up about that.
Get that firsthand kind of feedback from Phil being there in Cooperstown. Did you see the speech?
I did not. I unfortunately was watching the game and working on some stuff, so I did not get to see it.
I kind of wish I did, because apparently there were a whole bunch of links out there, like they Facebook Lived it. Yeah. I think it was on Twitter.
Well, and you know what? Blummer was great about giving you the heads up, even though you want everybody to watch the broadcast. He said, Baggy's about to take the podium, which was cool, because I flipped over. And for a guy that has always been so humble and quiet and didn't like to speak, doesn't like to talk, do all these things, to hear him be so just concise but emotional and really
get
to everybody. He really didn't cry.
Okay.
But his dad did, which he always said how hard a guy his dad was. But he went to his dad right away, and his dad did. But it was a good speech, really solid speech, really classy speech. I thought it was great.
Very good.
Yeah, so we'll get some excerpts of that, as well as Phil Gardner next, coming up on The Usual Suspects, so don't go anywhere. We'll have a busy show today with the trade deadline approaching as well. And again, if you want to join us, 713-780-3776, that's the HRNP listener line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
This is actually really an unbelievable day. I'm so humbled to be here. To be surrounded by some of the greats that ever played this game. I mean, guys you see on TV, guys you read about and all that, and I'm standing up here and kind of sitting in the background just watching and just trying to figure out what's really going on.
Oh, it's just great. I think we could make a habit out of this every 2 years. Let's just keep going. But I'm excited for Jeff. Like many of us, we think, my word is finally. But nonetheless, I'm glad that he's inducted. And this is his proper place.
There you have it. Just one of the excerpts from Jeff Bagwell's speech, followed by our next guest, Phil Gardner, as he was there live and in living color in Cooperstown for the big day. And we talked about it a little bit briefly, but I watched the speech, and the one thing that I thought was just fantastic from a guy that really keeps to himself a lot of times was just how open Baggy was. I knew at some point he was going to mention Caminiti, Daryl Kyle. But he did a great job of going right up and down the list to point out everybody from his coaches to his, ex-teammates to the general managers and the managers. I thought it was fantastic, and I thought his love for Craig Biggio, of course, really showed at the end as well.
Well, he did it. He, in our baseball vernacular, he knocked it out of the ballpark, and I was you never know how these guys are going to do this. You never worry about guys like Jeff Bagwell when you pencil their name in the lineup, because that's what they do. They put a bat in their hands and they go out and they do damage. They take a glove and they play beautifully. But when you ask them to speak, a lot of times that's not their forte. That's not what they enjoy doing most. But I thought Jeff spoke from the heart. He certainly said all the things that make you laugh, and he had a few things in there that would make you cry. It was all from the heart, and it was very genuine, and it was very much Jeff Bagwell.
Phil Gardner joining us on The Usual Suspects. Phil, what was he like in the clubhouse? I mean, was he a guy that was kept to himself? Was he a rah-rah? I mean, we're told he wasn't that kind of leader. What was he like in the clubhouse with the rest of the players?
Well, I don't know that he wasn't a funny guy. He was very businesslike. Several people asked me to come up with some funny anecdotes from his days as a player, and there are none. And it's because Baggy was very much a businesslike guy. He wasn't he wasn't so intense that you couldn't enjoy him. As a matter of fact, players revered Jeff. They loved being around him. He's very personable, but he was somewhat quiet, not given to a lot of the brashness that goes on in the clubhouse that a lot of guys do. He was very quiet. He was also a leader that I think another reason players respected him, particularly younger players. He would take them under their wing. But if something needed to be said to him, maybe they stepped out of line or something and did not do something that sort of in our baseball book is a no-no, Jeff would quietly go to the player and say, "We don't do that here. That's not the way we do things." So he garnered a lot of respect from that, but he wasn't the guy that stood up at the clubhouse and gave a sermon every now and then. It just wasn't his style. But he did lead by example, but he also led by verbal, by speaking with you and letting you know when you had done things well and when you stepped out of line a little bit. So for a manager, he was terrific.
Phil Garner joining us on the Usual Suspects on the HR&P listener line. And Phil, one of the things that I think that I was most pleased with in Jeff's speech, which outside of Houston I think gets overlooked a lot of times, is just how many things he did well. And I think from your perspective, it would be great to hear, because of the fact that people don't think about Jeff Bagwell as a great base runner, but he was a great base runner. And he said how much pride he took in making sure that he got that 200 stolen bases on in his career. But a phenomenal fielder until the shoulder went. He could still wing it around the diamond when he had to. But, man, his base running, he was a legitimate five-tool type player.
He was. And one of the little-known facts that I just found about from his old college coach was he's a three-time All-State soccer player. And, it's a small wonder that he was able to make the transition from third base to first base when we made the trade for him. When we brought him to spring training in 1991, that was my first year coaching. And I don't know this for a fact, but I suspect that some people thought that he had been a double-A player the year before. I suspected a lot of the powers to be, now that I look back on it, probably thought that we'll bring him to spring training, let him get a little taste of what spring is all about, go send him to triple-A, and at some point during the year probably call him up. But he had a terrific spring. And somewhere in that spring training, we had Caminiti, and we decided that if he's going to make the team, he's going to have to play another position, so let's put him at first base. Well, he learned it. He learned it quite well, and you're quite right. He was a terrific defensive player. He was a great offensive player, but he was a terrific defensive player. And I have said this on numerous occasions, and I continue to say it, that for over a decade, until he really hurt his shoulder badly, he was the best first baseman in baseball. And he changed the way the game was played. He was the first one that was really in your face on a bunt situation. He intimidated pitchers in the National League that, heretofore had just gone to the plate and it was a routine play. We're just going to let him bunt the ball. And if he bunts it hard, maybe we'll get a guy out at second. But if he does a good bunt, we'll just get the out. Well, not with Jeff. You made a good bunt, he'd throw you out at second base. So he changed the way guys had to think about that. They had to get better at, a fake bunt and pull the bat back and try to hit it just to try to keep Jeff honest. But he was quite fearless when he charged the plate, and he did change the way it was the game was managed in that regard. And on top of that, as you alluded to, he was a terrific base runner, a very aggressive base runner. Wasn't blessed with a great deal of speed, but he was quick and extremely smart, and he knew how and when to take the extra base. A lot of times running just for the sake of running because you're aggressive doesn't make any sense, but Jeff made good, solid decisions. It usually turned out right, and to have 202 stolen bases as a first baseman is pretty remarkable over his career.
Coach, why do you think it took so long for him to get in? We were talking, I think this was the seventh time through. I mean, Frank Thomas got in, and those guys had very similar numbers, similar careers. Frank Thomas got in 2014. What took so long with Bagwell?
Well, I don't know. He played in the steroid era, and there were always people that had something to say about that. However, I don't think that's a fair assessment. I have heard people say that, baseball writers say that. Where there's smoke, there's fire. But I think that's grossly unfair to Jeff because he was never mentioned in anything that I'm aware of, any of all these reports that were done in baseball on the PEDs at the time. He was never mentioned into those things. And I never saw, and I was with Jeff early on, and I watched him through his whole career, and I never saw any indication that he would have done anything. So I think if that was the reason, then it's grossly unfair. And if that wasn't the reason, then nobody's given me a good explanation on why he shouldn't have been in the Hall of Fame earlier. And if you noticed in one of those little sound clips that you played, I alluded to that. Finally, they did it. And I'm giving a little slight to the writers there because he should have been in several years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm with you, Coach. We worked out at the same gym for years, and I've been in this city for 23 years, and I saw a guy that – not just in the workout facilities at the Dome or anywhere else. He was in public gyms, just working out for hours at a time, lifting weights, doing the things that needed to be done. And like you said, nothing was ever proven. So people need to just kind of take it down a notch on that and realize, as Barry said, the stats with Frank Thomas are on a parallel. For the most part, he should have already been in. But for you to look at two guys that you had the privilege to be around and look at kind of like everybody says, well, thunder and lightning, peanut butter and jelly, however you want to compliment them, Biggio and Bagwell seem to have complimented each other where you said Jeff was kind of the quiet guy that went about his business. Craig was the guy that kind of helped enforce things in the locker room, was more vocal. But it seems like those two just were the perfect Zen matchup for any manager and for any franchise.
Well, I was just looking at some stats. I'm going to be speaking on Saturday night in front of the fans, and for Jeff Bagwell special, one of his special nights on this weekend. And you know, when you take a look at him from 1991 to 2005, take out his rookie season because I don't think that counts necessarily. He's just having his rookie year. Every season after that, from his second season on. The Astros played at 500 ball 1 year, and then beyond 500 ball all those seasons except for one during that next stretch. Well, there's a reason for that, and it wasn't because we had great Houston fans. It was because those two were the leaders and the anchors on the ball club. We had a lot of players to come through here at Houston. The only thing that was similar on that stretch, that 14-year stretch, was Bagwell and Biggio, and both of them were great leaders. I couldn't have been more happy and more proud that Biggio went into the Hall of Fame. And what the tendency is for all of us to talk about the two of them together. And I did for a while, and I do that now for a while. But this is Jeff Bagwell's moment on this moment, and I'm going to hail to Jeff Bagwell because I spent time hailing to Craig Biggio, and this is Jeff's moment, and I'm very happy for it.
All right, Phil Garner joins us on The Usual Suspects. Coach, who's next? Who's the next Astro, do you think, to get this honor?
Well, I know who it's going to be, but I'm not going to say.
You don't want to jinx it or what?
I just think it's unfair to start projecting. And that's what we all like to do.
Sure.
When we get into spring training, we start projecting out to who's going to win, who's in the playoffs. For crying out loud, let's enjoy the season and get down to August before we start talking about who's going to get in the playoffs. But the tendency is, we all do this, is to project. Then the tendency is to project beyond that, could this be a dynasty? Then we start looking 10, 15 years down the road, maybe 20 years down the road. Well, is this guy a Hall of Famer or not? Well, I'm pretty sure we got a couple of guys on our team that are going to be Hall of Famers. But let's let them play. And I'm having so much fun watching these guys play. Just let them play and enjoy the moment that we're in.
Coach, you spend a ton of your time as a player and a coach around situations like this. You just mentioned how you love watching this team this year play, but I'd be remiss if I didn't get your feelings on this year's Astros team. The trade deadline, less than an hour and a half away. A lot of teams making moves, but a lot of the thought process is they don't want to mortgage too much of the future because they know what a great roster they have right now. What's your take on where they are, and would you make a move right now before the deadline to get, say, a starting pitcher, or is it better to stand pat because of all the talent and because of the fact that they should be together for quite a while?
Well, my mentor and great friend Chuck Tanner gave me some solid advice my first year of managing. He said, when you start spring training, get some pitching. At the end of spring training, when everybody else is cutting players, add some pitching. About halfway through the season, pick up some more pitchers, and then at the trade line, get some more pitchers, and then you might have enough to get through the season. So I've followed that advice over the years. I've taken it to heart. And so, yes, I would try to get another pitcher. I'd love to have another left-hander in the bullpen or another, you know, big-time starter. Now, yeah, we say all that, but at what price? If you told me I had to give up Bregman and Fisher, might not want to do that, you know, to get a guy that's going to help you out for six more weeks, maybe. So a couple of months, you know, it may get you in the playoffs. However, after you say that, you don't get an opportunity to get to the World Series very often. Just take a look at the Astros franchise history. We've had some terrific teams, great players. We've only been to the World Series one time. So, I think that this is a golden opportunity, and I hope that we can pull something off. But I also know that you have to be practical. You can't give up your entire minor league system to try to get or break up a guy on your big league team to try to get something. And by the way, I had a text just a few minutes ago that we might have made a deal. Have you guys confirmed that?
Yeah.
Well, we've confirmed Liriano and, of course, the minor league signing of Jumbo. But we're waiting on another move to be made, hopefully before 3 o'clock. We heard they're knee-deep in trade discussions with both the Orioles for Britton and the Padres for Hand. Do you have inside information for us?
I wish I did. I do not. I did get a text that said that it looked like we've made a trade for Liriano. So I'm happy that we're moving in that direction.
Well, Coach, we really appreciate you spending some time. I know it's been a busy and hectic travel schedule for you, so to block out a little time for us, we appreciate it. And again, fans, remember, it is Jeff Bagwell weekend this weekend at Minute Maid Park. And as Coach mentioned, he's going to be speaking as part of the festivities. So make sure you go out and get your tickets and catch all the festivities of Jeff Bagwell weekend here at Minute Maid for your Houston Astros. Thanks so much, Phil, and enjoy your weekend.
You bet, guys.
Phil Garner right there on The Usual Suspects. Good stuff as he was up close and personal with the Jeff Bagwell induction.
By the way, we didn't mention it because it came out at the break, but Teoscar Hernandez is the outfielder
right,
included in the Liriano trade. So it's Aoki and Liriano, Aoki and Teoscar Hernandez
right,
for Liriano.
There you have it. And so we'll keep you updated as the trade deadline approaches. Again, 3 o'clock Central Time for the trade deadline. But we've got much more here on the show. And if there's things that you want to talk about, please join us, 713-780-3776 on the HRNP Listener Line, or hit us up on Twitter right here on ESPN 97.5.
Caminiti was going. It's skied to left. Deion Sanders at the wall, and Bagwell has his first major league home run.
Something my father instilled in me when I was a kid is to never quit. Don't quit at anything you ever try. And, I've pretty much stuck to that. There are certain situations that I wish I had quit a couple jobs that I had. Dishwasher and friendlies of Cape Cod, I should have quit that. Sometimes I probably should have quit baseball, too. But, you know, deep inside of me, I just never gave up.
Like I said, there's more of the Jeff Bagwell speech, and he was just spot on. I didn't know what to expect. Part of him was saying, leading up to this, that he wasn't even going to prepare. He was going to be real short, be typical Jeff Bagwell. But I thought he really covered all the bases, no pun intended. And really, I thought the way he put the spotlight on his father from the get-go was big, because he said his father had been battling some issues, that it was so exciting for him that he would be there in person, and that a man that was such a rock for that family, you could see get emotional when he singled him out. I thought it was just a very, very special moment.
Yeah, I'm not a big I didn't watch Biggio's Hall of Fame speech. I don't know. I mean, I grew up rooting for these guys, but when it comes to that stuff, I guess I am apathetic to all of that. I'm just glad they made it in. The whole speech and the pomp and circumstance. I don't know. I don't think I've ever watched a Hall of Fame speech, to be honest with you, football or otherwise.
I can tell you this. If I'm the Hall of Famer sitting on the stage, I guarantee you they're looking at their watch with every guy going, oh, man. Because each speech is like 20. Bagwell's was 23 minutes.
Really? That Bud surprises
Selig.
Me.
Now, and here's the crazy thing. Bud Selig, I was interested in because before he became the much maligned commissioner of baseball, was the owner of the Milwaukee Brewers, and he brought baseball to Milwaukee.
Is that why they hung his number?
Yeah.
That's still the dumbest thing ever.
You got a lot of positive energy today. It was just big because he tried several times before he brought a major league team to Milwaukee, a small market team. You know, and then just his relationship with Henry Aaron and the fact that they pointed – no one, as we all know, when a team leaves, like when the Oilers left to be the Titans, pretty much the city that is being left at the altar kind of washes their hands of it. We know that retired numbers that should be here in Houston are in Tennessee. But the fact that he made sure that Henry Aaron finished his career where it started in Milwaukee, retired 44 for Aaron because he wore it as a Milwaukee Brave. He did a lot of good things for the city of Milwaukee for baseball. And then, of course, as commissioner, you can say what you want, but that was a tough deal to get into in the first place. So I actually watched that speech, but I feel you just simply because of the fact that these guys are unlimited. It's not like the Academy Awards where the music plays and you got to wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these guys can go a long time. Well, like, and Pudge did half of it in Spanish.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that would. I'm not that far in my Duolingo stuff
not yet.
I can say apple now. When the lady downstairs is like, "Do you want chips?" I'll say, "No, manzanas." Yeah, because I'm bilingual, guys. Manzanas. That's apples. I don't know if you know that.
Because you know one word doesn't make you bilingual.
Cayete. That's two.
Uh-huh. Was it Benoit Benjamin that would have said that you're bilateral?
That's right.
Yeah,
I'm bilateral. That's right.
I just know that, you know, Lisa can translate for me, and I can get things like, and he'll just go off on a sentence and then go, "And Nolan Ryan." And I go, "Oh, he mentioned Nolan Ryan when he went to the Rangers." I get it. Because otherwise, I'm out.
Yeah, that's how I am. I just wait and listen for words that are, you know. There's no Spanish translation for Nolan Ryan, so you can pick that up.
Okay, so how much is too much, Barry Laminack,
in
giving up prospects and talent for Zach Britton? Because now Ken Rosenthal is reporting that in negotiations for Zach Britton, there needs to be a big haul, quote-unquote, for the Orioles, or the owner of the Orioles, Peter Angelos, will not approve. So I saw the ticker on the way in here on MLB Network that said Dodgers Astros final two in negotiations for Britton, but price tag is said to be very high coming back. So I guess that adds a little bit to that. How much is too much? Because we heard it could be Fisher and Martez. Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I am. And again, so you've just given up Aoki, who is he was expendable. I mean, let's be real. He's not even playing that much. The worst part about that is we'll never get to hear Aoki Pokey, honestly. But you gave up a top 10 prospect in your organization in Teoscar Hernandez, but you still have other prospects like Kyle Tucker and Derek Fisher, and Derek Fisher being already up.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't surprise me if instead of giving up Derek Fisher, they were asked to give up Tucker and Martez. Or one or the other. So you have to make a decision of the Astros. How many outfielders is enough outfielders, and do you need that many prospects? Can you say, okay, you can have Martez and Derek Fisher, two guys on our major league roster, or would you rather say, have Martez, he's on the roster, and take Tucker, he's unproven, but he's our number two prospect in our organization, and then you do that deal? I'd be happy with that, because then you get to get out of that hanging on to Derek Fisher.
I'm with you, and we can continue to talk about this, but like Dak Cameron. I mean, if you want a guy that's going to be a little bit, you know, take a little bit longer, but the Astros can easily afford to give him up, but he's got it in his genes because Mike Cameron, the longtime major leaguer, was his dad. He's highly regarded, high draft pick a few years ago. But I'm with you because of the fact that when Aoki went, it said to me they really like Fisher. But if Fisher goes, you know, it says to me their depth, because they know Tucker's coming, that they could give up a Teoscar Hernandez, even though he was hitting the ball fairly well this year and he had shown signs. When he was up in the major leagues, it just didn't happen for him yet. So they've got enough depth in the outfield.
Well, they've got five outfielders in the top 10 in their prospects, in their farm
system. And there you have it, in a nutshell.
Yeah.
So there you go. So we can talk about that and a whole lot more, as the deadline is just a little bit more than an hour away. And we'll keep you updated as we continue to roll through this. But if there's something on your mind or a question you want to ask, baseball or otherwise, give us a call, 713-780-3776 on the HRNP listener line. Call, text there, or if you so desire, give us a hit up on Twitter, and we'll make sure that we check those out as well. The usual suspects right here on ESPN 97.5. Get the stretch.